Do we need to do this off the record?
We should be off the record.
Okay. Let's go back on the record then.
Respondent calls Dr.
One moment. I'm just trying to make sure we're recording. Okay, we are. We're back on the record then in the Snyder case. Ms. Babcock?
Respondent calls Dr. Rima for a very brief survey about.
Okay. Dr. Rima, if you'd resume your seat on the witness stand. And I remind you that you are still under oath. Ms. Babcock, you may proceed.
Dr. Rima, you were sitting in the room when Dr. Kennedy came up to clarify a few points.
I did.
What's your response?
Well, there's a number of points that he raised, and on a number of points he obviously indicated that he was sorry for creating some confusion, and I appreciate that. In terms of the two more substantial points that he made, there is a difficulty with the R protein in the sense that nobody has ever demonstrated it. It was based on a single publication by Dalbridis a long time ago. It has never been quoted. It has never been shown. And essentially, it is in the textbooks, yes, but as far as people who are working in the field are concerned, it is of no particular discussion point anymore because there is no evidence that it exists. And so, in that sense, that led to the statement that I made there in relation to that point. In terms of the receptors, in terms of the Swartz and Moraton vaccine, in the 2001 edition of Diane, she might have written that, and it is clearly there. But in the field, we know that there are papers by Chris Parks from Wyeth at the time, which actually from Wyeth.
Can you spell the last name?
Parks, P-A-R-C-K-S, in Parks. Journal of Virology, and I unfortunately haven't got the reference at hand, which shows very clearly that the two strains are genetically identical and cannot be separated, and hence was my comment. So what it illustrates is this, that there is obviously a number of statements taken out of this version of Diane Griffin's chapter in Fields Virology, but in the field we discount the R protein completely because no further evidence has ever been produced for its existence, and the mechanism of frame shifting is actually one which is a difficult one to rhyme with the further information that we have about the various proteins that are generated. And secondly, as I've said, the Parks paper showed the point that I was making there. In terms of the receptors, my main reaction in Dr. Kennedy's direct evidence was that he called it the primary receptor for measles. SLAM is the receptor that is actually preferred both by the vaccine strain and by the wild type strains. And that is something that is simply, it is not easy to make a complete and utter determination of which of the two receptors is the most preferred one, but certainly the vaccine strain can use SLAM as well as CD46. And I refer back to my direct testimony this morning, where I said that even in the case of this child that we are studying at the moment, and this is unpublished, and therefore, you know, you could say that, and certainly it would be difficult for Dr. Kennedy to know about that. But even in the case of the child that had the Swartz vaccine and was immunocompromised, had this gamma-globulinemia, we see that the virus in that particular child, even though it is a vaccine strain which can use CD46, it still goes to the cells which express SLAM and not CD46. So that is where I took issue with the particular thing that was said, which may well appear in a textbook, but the folks in the field know that this is no longer current knowledge.
So is it fair to say that the areas where, you know, the statements you made in your report were based on your own experience, knowledge, and expertise in specifically studying the measles virus?
That's right.
I have nothing further.
Cross?
Nothing further.
And I just have one follow-up question, and that is, as you talked about the Park paper and someone from Life Labs, that involves actually sequencing both.
That sequenced the whole, that sequenced the Swartz, the Morat, and the wild type strain that we have of Edmondson, which isn't the complete wild type because it had already been passed 8 times, and the original Edmondson isolate is gone. And it also sequenced the Edmondson Zagreb, and I think one other that vaccine strain.
Okay. Questions based on mine?
No, Special Master.
All right, then it would appear we can recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, but do we need to do something else on the record?
If I might.
Go ahead. Certainly, Mr. Wickersham.
May it please the Special Master, I took to heart your comment earlier about the UK and the reports from the UK and the need to obtain those. Admittedly, I'm here representing the Snyders, and we're the last in a series, and to some degree the new kids on the block, if you'll excuse the expression. I'm very concerned about obtaining those reports. The experts on our case are perfectly willing to waive any confidentialities, but that doesn't create standing in a British court for the other issues. What I am interested in is the standing issue that I will need to have access to a British court to have the judge there reconsider either his order or another judge to overturn his order. And in that regard, I would like this court to issue a subpoena that I then can domesticate in the UK, and then I would have standing to attack that order.
Mr. Wickersham,
we don't have standing.
I understand.
Where we are.
There are very specific procedures for subpoenaing things from foreign jurisdictions that involve the Hague Convention.
Correct.
And we'll have to delve into that more, but ordinarily we don't use a subpoena to get them.
Right.
Get things that are under seal, in particular from a foreign court.
I'm just concerned about the standing issue and with the briefing times, and I know that you're very interested in churning out a fair opinion as soon and as expeditiously as possible, and I don't want to leave any stone unturned that's going to create a delay.
I certainly sympathize with you, and will do everything possible to assist you, and I know that the government will in this regard.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. If I could just follow
please,
up on that.
Please, Mr. Magnuski.
Mr. Wickersham and I have had a discussion during one of the breaks about that very topic, and we have offered the contact points that we had made. Admittedly, this was very hurry up for us, and sort of recreating our steps might be difficult to find some of the things that we went through, but we'd be happy to share whatever we can, because we came in the same way as he expressed them. We did not have standing. We found a law that allowed us to go in and try to
And it was not a law that involved your government-to-government
No, ma'am.
Procedure,
it was certainly not sovereign-to-sovereign as it's been portrayed. It was, we came in, yes, we are, we can't, our identity is a sovereign, but we came into the court with no different process than any other third party would.
Thank you.
All right. And I have not yet established a briefing schedule in this case. I would ask that all of the parties give some thought to that this evening, and that we be prepared to discuss that tomorrow at the conclusion of the closing arguments. All right. Are there any other matters we can take up today?
Not for the petitioners.
Nor for the government.
All right. Court's in recess until 9 tomorrow morning.